And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Lions football. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown.
All right. Preseason exhibition game two in the books. This has been the longest preseason ever, and it's still a week left, and it's still like 3 weeks before the first game. It's just long.
Well, and how about this? After the preseason is over, they still got 2 weeks and then three games left before they get on the field to play the
Rams. That's what I'm saying.
The Rams at Ford Field.
That's what I said. 3 weeks left before a game. But interesting things happen. We'll review the Kansas City Chiefs game, and then we'll go into this final week and what to look for. Officially, camp, I think, is over. There's a couple of days of trainers. They're pretty much in regular season schedule this week, you know, day off and then a couple of practices and then, you know, walkthroughs and game. So the official camp has ended. I think it was a good, tough camp this year, Mike.
Yeah, I thought it was too. You know, it's unfortunately, quite a few injuries, but I think a lot of those guys are going to start coming back too. So we'll see what happens in that regard. But yeah, I thought it was a good camp. I thought one thing you could tell absolutely, this is not a team that rested on its laurels at training camp. They came back just as hungry to win this year as they were last year.
Right. And the one thing about the preseason games where I always judge by is how hard and how good do the backups play. And I'm not saying they were perfect. I'm not saying they were even great. But I thought the level of play from the backups this year was higher than I've seen it in a long time.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I wrote down a note here I want to share with you. But they had 9 tackles for loss against Kansas City. 9 tackles for loss and 3 sacks. I think that's kind of tells you how they can dominate up front.
Yeah, and we speaking of the game, the offensive line who, you know, was maligned against the Giants for, you know, the backups not being good. They kept both quarterbacks clean, and even Campbell said it in the postgame interview that, you know, he thought they were clean and weren't touched, and that was amazing, and that was a good show. And I'm going to tell you, as long as we're talking about it, a lot of those – now, I don't know who's going to make the team or not, but offensive line-wise, a lot of those young players, man, you can see them getting better. Now, Kobe Soares there, I think he's – I don't know if he's gotten better, but I still got question marks on him. But Mono,
one of my favorite guys.
Yeah, I got to see it. I mean, he's all over the place.
Of course.
But I got
to
see it.
Everybody.
Yeah, but he's, you know, coming into camp, I thought he was going to be the main backup player. I thought he was, you know, the offensive lineman number 6 that would be the guy. But I'm telling you, man, there's some guys that have come on, and it's going to be some battles going on. Last week, the fourth-round pick, Giovanni Manu, he's not ready to play right now. And after a week, the improvement from the first game to the second game, now I'm not saying he's ready to play right now, but I was just seeing that big body, you know, get experience. Now you can just see the potential this kid has.
Hey, so, well, first of all, that size, and he can maneuver it. That's you could say surprising. I don't know if it really is surprising, but the fact that he's as agile as he is at that size is really something.
Yeah, and I thought they played pretty good. Now,
yeah.
I'm not going to get into it today with who's going to make the team by the bottom few players or whatever. There are some names I'm going to bring up, but I don't want to get into all that because, to me, probably, I don't know about you, Mike, 85% of the team is already set, and there's a few spots still open that, you know, they're going to compete for this week. But if they had to field a team tomorrow, they could.
Well, absolutely. I don't think they need another week. But I'm sure there are some, Kenny, I'm sure there are some players on there where it's, if or or, you know, me or him. And I think, you know, maybe one of the wide receivers we saw have a fairly big game on Saturday. I think that's part of it, too.
Yeah, well, I got wide receiver in my notes here. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Because there was a player they should have gotten the offseason that – we talked about last year they didn't get, and I think he would help this team right now. We'll get back to him later. Kicking-wise, my man Jake Bates, who I was the one that said sign him early, missed an extra point. I'm going to be all fair. You can't be missing extra points, Jake. But then you can't be kicking 53 yarders and then miss extra points. It just doesn't make sense to me. But I think that – go ahead.
You discovered him in March.
I discovered him in the UFL, whatever, XFL, XFL, UFL, whatever the league is called. I discovered him back then after he banged a 64-yard. I said, this guy, the Lions, should sign him up immediately. They waited a while, but they got him. Powerful leg. I just think with Dave Phipps, the special teams coach, working with him to iron out those little kinks, I think the sky's the limit for this kid. And you got to remember, he hadn't been kicking till this year. So he's going to get better.
Well, I can see that as a reason why not everybody wanted to sign him, because he didn't have any experience as a game day kicker. So I think that worked against him, except he got signed by the Detroit Lions, who saw him play all those games at Ford Field. And, you know, why not? Why not give him a shot?
And the best thing about, he made four field goals Saturday. The best thing about him to me so far is that he's played two outside games and hasn't missed a field goal. You know, he hadn't even went inside yet to Ford Field or Dome yet. These are outside kicks, and you know how the Giants Stadium that win is over there. So he's kicking hard kicks right now, and a game winner. And I don't care. Who was that last? Somebody was laughing when I said he kicked a game winner. It didn't mean nothing. Anytime you kick a game winner, whatever league you're in, it shows you about guys in pressure. I don't care what you're playing. So I think that meant something.
No, I think it meant something because he made it under pressure. Look, you can talk about the pressure of a game and all that. The pressure of winning a job in the National Football League, that's real pressure too. And he came up with it. He really did. I thought that was as telling as anything. And I also think, just with, you know, watching the game and watching the clock count down, they didn't try to gain any more yardage. I think Dan Campbell wanted to make it in, you know, the 40-plus range to see how he'd react.
I saw the same thing when you did.
I thought that was on purpose.
Yeah,
and you know what? I would have done exactly the same thing.
I'm surprised Hit the Hooker didn't back up 5 yards and kneel. I put him back to the 50, you know. I was looking at it. Because the first kneel, I'm like, okay, you just lost 2 yards. And then the next one, he lost two more, I think, or whatever, with sideways. But, I think that's what Dan wanted to put him in there to find out. But you gotta also admit, Mike, they're sending a signal to him that it's your job to keep, because since the money badger got hurt, they haven't brought another kicker in. So they're telling you right now, we want you to take this. So I think that helped, too, with his confidence.
Oh, I think so, too. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you know, we got to talk about quarterback every week, because Detroit City, the city of the quarterback and bunts, as Jim Lee always used to call it. Panic has set in last week. Oh, the world is ending, and who has Ryan Tannehill's number and Taylor Heineke's number? We got to get a backup quarterback in here. Blah, 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 blah. Now, a week later, good performances by Hendon Hooker. I still think the performance by Sudfeld was average at best, and the PFF numbers prove me right, because he wasn't rated that high. He's barely 50%. For an 8-year veteran, I expect more out of him.
Wait a minute. We're relying on Pro Football Focus.
No, but I'm relying on my eyes, what I saw. An 8-year veteran, Mike, I expect more out of him. And I just don't see it. But do you think Hendon Hooker has solidified the number 2 job with this last performance? And going into this final game, do you play him, do you start him this week?
Probably, you know, probably. I'm not sure. I don't think it matters if he starts or comes in relief at number 2, but he'll get his shot then. If he plays the way he did last week, if he plays that way against Pittsburgh, then I think he'll get the job. If he doesn't, then it's up for grabs.
Well, I think he needs the whole game. I think you should play in the whole game, because hopefully, once that game ends Saturday afternoon, you won't see him again for the rest of the season unless it's mop-up, hopefully. That's the way you want this to work out. So I want to get him as many snaps in before the season starts as possible. We know what Sudfeld is. We know what he is. Now, if you want to keep him as 3, that's on you. I'm not going to say one way or another, because I never advocate for guys getting cut unless it's a discipline thing. But I think Hendon Hooker, get him all the snaps he can and then put him back in the bubble wrap as the backup.
No, I understand what you're saying. I don't necessarily disagree with it, but I think you want, whoever's going to be your backup quarterbacks, to get as much work as you can give them realistically. In other words, I don't think you gain anything with Hendon Hooker by playing him like all 65 snaps instead of just 50. I think he gets the same amount of work.
Okay. One last thing on the wrap up of the KC game that they won with a last second field goal before we go away from it. Isaiah Williams, the wide receiver.
Yep.
Had two productive games now. Flashed a little in practice. The practice I've been to, he didn't really flash to me, but I think some of them he did that I wasn't at. But just say he did. He's a flasher. He's a slot receiver, and you already got Khalif Raymond and Amon St. Brown. Can you keep him as the fifth receiver?
You can, depending on what else you have. Depending on what else is.
But don't you think they need to get a big receiver? They got, Jameson. They got the two I talked about. They got, I don't know if Donovan Peoples-Jones is going to make it or not. I hope he does. I think he should because you're paying him. But he hasn't really shown a lot during camp. I'll be the first one to admit that. But then maybe he hasn't had the chances. I don't know. Look, I don't talk bad about Cash Tech players. You know that because that's.
I was just about to jump.
I know you about to jump. I'm letting you know. I don't talk bad about Cash Tech players. But, they need a big receiver. And, again, they failed to do what Ken Brown says. And if you listen to these podcasts, you need to do this. I said they should have went and signed DJ Chark in the offseason. He ended up going to the Chargers. And I don't know how he's playing or starting or what. But he's exactly what they're missing, a 6'4 guy that can run, speedy, big, and he's played here a year, and golf knows him. That's what they're missing, Mike.
Look, I liked him when they brought him in 2 years ago, and then I watched him for, 17 weeks, minus the injury time that he was off. And I just kept saying to myself, what's the big deal for him? What did he do to earn $10 million? I don't think he ever packed for the Detroit Lions.
No, I agree with that part. The $10 million part, I agree with. And he hasn't made it since. Because he didn't sign for a lot of money with the Chargers. He didn't sign for a lot of money we played last year with Carolina.
But to me, it's not a money issue. I'm just referencing that. But it's a production issue. I didn't see production.
Well, you saw production. The Minnesota game, the long touchdown, the last play in the Green Bay game that clinched
our
it.
Game, yeah.
I mean, you're right. But that's all you're looking for now for this big receiver. Red zone and a little bit of, mix in with the guys. We're not looking for, Davante Adams to go out there. So that's what I'm saying. For the price, you just need a big guy that you can put down there and do some fighting in that end zone, jump balling, and can make the catch big. That's what they need.
Right, and he made that catch in the last game of the season 2 years ago. And it was a good catch. Let the Lions run out the clock against the Packers and finished 9-8 and really – just add to what's already been a good season. But what else did he do?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that's what they need.
What else?
So they need to find a guy like this either by trade or the last cut. But they got to find a big receiver. He might not even play as much as Josh Reynolds played last year. But you need to find a guy that you can put in that game when you're down in that red zone and you're trying to get it in the end zone. And you can fight a small corner. And they don't have that guy right now. I thought Donovan Peoples would step up, but it hasn't happened yet. So we'll see what happens with that. But when you're talking about the fourth or fifth receiver being your biggest problem, you got a good team.
No, they got a good team, but you want every position you have, every player filling those positions, you want them to be as good as you can be. You don't want to just take it for granted and say, oh, he'll be good enough. There's no such thing as good enough.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to be on the lookout for another receiver because I don't think the ones in camp now – for that fifth spot of there. And like I said, Isaiah Williams, I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the practice squad because you don't need a third slot. And I can't see him playing outside. Maybe they'll try and play him outside this week. But if he can't play outside, I don't think he's going to be on the 53.
You're probably right. But look, he was, six catches on 8 targets. That's pretty good work.
No, he's a good player.
That's a pretty good job.
But you're stuck behind two better players.
Well, yeah, right. So, exactly.
Now, a couple other things we want to get to. You didn't even comment on the Hendon Hooker. I see. I'm not going to let you off the hook. So, you think he's the backup?
I think that's what I said.
No, yeah. You were stuttering around with it. You were stammering around with it. You didn't want to be committed to it. You know,
you left it open.
You left it open for interpretation. So I'm gonna nail you to the cross on that. So do they keep Sudfeld?
I think they'll keep both kickers, both backups.
Okay.
You got to be confused with these kickers. No, I think they'll keep both backups. I think they'll go in with three. That's what I would do.
Okay. Now, one other thing that is a player on the bubble that is a fan favorite, is he going to make the team or not, is James Houston. Didn't play last week, hurt. That's what they said, hurt. Hasn't really shown a lot, Mike, since that rookie year where he had those eight half games where he got those sacks.
Right.
Last year he got hurt early, he came back and he played the San Francisco game, nothing. Preseason, even before he got hurt in the first couple of games of the year, the first game of the year, he didn't really do anything. So are we overestimating him by those eight games from 2 years ago, or are we missing something? Because they went back to playing him exclusively at D-line now. You know, he's just going to be a pass rusher. They tried to put him as a strong side linebacker, and that just wasn't good. So he's definitely on the bubble to me. I don't know what you think about him.
No, I wouldn't disagree with you. And one of the reasons is because they very seldom even think about him except that, you know, what's he going to do? There's not an awful lot of positive mojo coming out of that area.
No. I don't know if you can even trade any of these guys, you know, maybe to get something for them. But,
you know, good point by you, Ken, because I was thinking about that. You know, and every year recently we talked about how the Lions have so much depth now that there are going to be a lot of their players are going to be traded, or you know, and none of them, it doesn't happen.
No. There's also one other player I think on the bubble that's been around for a couple of years, and that's the tight end James Mitchell. And in all truthfulness, from the time they drafted him, I know he was hurt coming out of Virginia Tech, and he's pretty much a redshirt first year. I really haven't seen it, Mike, and I'm just like, you know, there's a couple of tight ends, another boy from Iowa has come in now, Hester.
Yeah.
And I just think that he's on the bubble too.
You know, I think he had, 10 catches, 11 catches last year, his second season. But, you know, just no real production, no real, at times, any real awareness that he's on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, you can go a month and we're wondering if he's on the field. But this Parker Hesse guy is showing up because he can also, you know, he can play, you can move him in a couple of positions, good blocker. You already got the two, Brock Wright and, you know, LaPorta are your top two. So
right.
It's going to be – that's a battle. He's on the bubble, definitely. So I'm adding to him. Let me see what else. There was one other player I wanted to talk about. This is what I wanted to talk about, too. The defensive end on that other side, there are a couple of names. Like I said, I'm not going to get heavy into the mix with them. But Okwu and Mitchell Agudé, these are two guys that are – they're like the they're like the guys they had last year, the Okwara brothers, kind of. You know, they're trying to get those two spots. These are the new Okwara brothers. No, I'm just saying those two spots. These are this year's Okwaras. You know, so they the Charles Harris of this year. So they're trying to find these guys.
The Okwaras have been in the league a while.
Right, the Okwaras, man.
Nice.
Yeah, man, I'm not used to going into a season without some Okwaras on the team. You know, this is the first year since Caldwell was the coach that wasn't in a quora on the team.
Get me some
Okwara. I need an Okwara, quick. But it's a couple of bubble guys for that last pass rush spot, and I want to see how that plays out. That Matthew Betts, who had a sack from Canada, but he's about 52 years old, and, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen much out of him.
That's the guy who had the 18
sacks in Canada, yeah. So,
that's the first time I actually saw him. I thought he'd be bigger for whatever reason.
Right. Not real athletic, not real big, good motor, but, you know, this is the NFL, man. You know, there's a minimum standard of physical activity you got to have, and I don't know if he's got it, but he's on the bubble too, so we'll see how they do it. Now, this is a question, Mike. This last preseason game, you've seen a bunch of them. Well, we won't count the 4-week preseason games because nobody wanted to play in Buffalo. But do you play the starters at all? Or if you do, how long do you play them and which starters? Or do you just go in and 1 to 35, I'm not even playing them?
You'll love this one. Let's go back to 1977.
There you
seven
go.
Six preseason games. How about that?
Mm-hmm. How did they play them?
They played them.
Did they?
Yeah.
They played them all six preseason games?
I think so, yeah.
Can you imagine today having six preseason games?
You know, that season, they started out with a week of rookie camp. I think it was, what was it? It was 3 weeks of training camp and then six preseason games.
Can you imagine today?
Yeah, I can imagine.
I can't even imagine that for a bunch of reasons. One, the players would revolt. Number two, fans wouldn't pay for three preseason games at their stadium. They'd be upset. You know they would be ready to tear up the place. And number three, the way guys get hurt, how many players you going to have left by the time the regular season starts? Six games is like a third of a new season.
Look, one year when there was still four preseason games, Gary Danielson was the quarterback. I think I brought this up a week or two ago. He was injured and went out for the season. In the last play of the third down in the fourth preseason game, he was still in the game.
Crazy.
Still in the game.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, at least they've gone past that. So where do you think for this week, though? You think they should play the guys, get a little rust on them, a little rust off of them?
No, I would stick with what they're doing. I think if you look at what they did last year with their, I thought that worked well for them. I think they've got a theory. I think they've got a way they do things, and I think they ought to stick with it.
Well, I think they should play the offensive line the first series, and if you want to run every play and don't throw, fine. I think you ought to knock a little dust off and get them in there for that. Defensive line, I like to see them play a full first series and then get everybody else out. I don't care to see any other guys in, but I like to see the offensive line and starting defensive line get a series in. Just one series.
Well, this is the Pittsburgh Steelers you're facing. This is a very active defense.
Right.
This is a team that I would try to avoid as much as I could.
Jared Goff, he don't even have to come to the game. If you show up, fine, and have a seat, don't even think about changing. I don't even want to see. Matter of fact, I don't even want you on the sideline. Go up in the booth. Go up in the box. I don't even want you anywhere near anything that could happen. So I'm fine with that. If they play him, they do. If they don't, now Campbell said last week, I remember I was at that presser, he said he was thinking about playing them, some of the starters, this last week. And he really, a lot of the ones that I was thinking he would play, he didn't play. So, going into the regular season without any preseason game action and only one joint practice session, I might roll the dice and run them a series. But if you don't, I can understand.
Right, and I think if you play them, you play them with instructions. Don't do anything stupid.
Right, and like I said, on offense, we're running the ball until we have to punt. We're not doing nothing stupid. This is straight ahead block, and I just want you guys to get, tangled with some guys for a minute. And on defense, straight pass rush, no, we're not doing nothing else. And don't be out there doing, like you said, doing stuff stupid. Get a little lather on you. I tell you another guy who's impressed me, Mr. Mike.
Yes.
Broderick Martin, the one that we've been waiting for a year.
Yeah.
Really impressive.
Yeah. Yep.
Really impressive.
You're aware that he's on the field and he's on the field. That's a big guy to be
aware. He's a big guy, man. He's playing a little lower this year, too. Now, the one thing I haven't heard, when is DJ Reader coming back?
Well, I think that they've said all along that they thought he'd be ready for the regular season, but what's that, 3 weeks from now? We'll see.
Yeah, but if he hadn't played to now and hadn't practiced to now, I can't see them not putting him on that first four game. What do you call that, the NFI list or whatever, for 4 weeks. I just can't see you, activate him Monday and then 2 weeks from now play him. And plus, you don't need him right now. I think the defensive line is fine right now.
Well, I think that it's better with him.
Oh, yeah, it'll be better with him. I'm saying it's fine right now. I can bring him along slowly.
If he's healthy enough to play him.
I want him playing in November and December, though. Just like
I want him dominating in September, October, and November so you can get to all those other.
Well, I think you can do that without him. But let's like Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm sorry. This hamstring thing is going, take it slow. If he's not ready in 3 weeks, don't rush him back in. I need him in November and December and January.
Well, also, I think, and we haven't said this yet, but I think he might be the next, the third or fourth receiver you want out there
yeah.
in some situation.
You're right. You're right. I was thinking about that too, yes. But again, I just need a big guy to go with all those other guys you got. I need a big guy, and I'll be looking out for one. I saw an article in the paper. They were laughing at it, but they were talking about, see what Julio Jones is doing. You know, he's 35 years old, but he's 6'5". If he can give you 10 plays a game, is that, I don't know if he'd do it, but is it worth it to you?
No, I'll tell you what. If they want to go back in time to get a guy, there was
don't
a guy
say
out
it.
Calvin.
I knew you were going to say that. Don't say it.
Okay.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Of course not. It's never going to happen. But if you want to do that, you want
to. I hate to tell you, Mike, can I make a true confession?
You thought the same thing.
No, I did look it up a couple of weeks ago, see how old he was. Can he? Has there been anybody that has been in the Hall of Fame to come back to play?
No.
Because remember, he retired kind of early. He retired at like 30 or something, 31. So
29, I think.
Yeah, so he's only 37, I think I saw.
And, he was a three-year player in college. And
You know what, though? I saw him out of the practice last week.
Yeah.
He could still play. He could still.
Oh, yeah.
If he wanted to, he could still play. And like I said, if you played him 15 snaps a game, that got me all turned around. I wasn't even going to mention that.
Okay, let's come on.
That's a good thought, though, because like I said, I know he can still play. He may not be the 4-3-5 guy, but I bet he still runs under a 4-5.
We want Kelvin.
All right, Mike, so we're going to be back again after the final cuts and before the opening season game against Matt Stafford, who might not play, who they say he's going to practice again, you know, when the week of the game starts, but he's having some hamstring problems, and 37-year-olds with hamstring problems and 35-year-olds with hamstring problems, those are those sometimes linger, so that's something to keep an eye on.
I didn't know he ran far enough and hard enough to hurt his hamstrings.
I guess he might care. You know, in L.A., they do all types of crazy things. So, anyway, that's it for this week. Mike O'Hara, thanks for joining us. Mike O'Hara and Ken Brown on the K&M Podcast. We will be back after the final cuts to talk about the roster and the upcoming season. All right, Mike, you have a good day.
All right, Ken Brown.